Yeshaya Perek Chof Ches Pasuk Chof Gimel Chof Gimel, the end of the Perek. Beforehand, the Novi had criticized the Aseres HaShvatim. He rebuked them. They were so involved in their pleasures, they weren't at all attuned to hearing Torah. Tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav, we had different explanations, either that he had to keep on teaching again and again and imparting the lessons in all different ways that they should somehow be able to understand. Ze'er shum, and he gave them in small amounts and they couldn't comprehend. The following message could be taken separately, or perhaps it's connected with what we had before. And it's going to discuss about how a person can prepare himself to be receptive to learning. But first, let's see the simple explanation, and then perhaps we'll see it a little deeper. Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Hazinu v'shimu koli. The Navi says, Hazinu, hearken, listen. Vishimu koli, and hear my voice. Hakshivu vishimu imrosi. Hakshivu, listen, be attentive, listen closely, and hear my words. Hachol, now he begins with a parable. He's going to give a mashal to a farmer who wants to prepare the field for planting. Hachol hayom, do you think that the whole day, Yachrosh achoresh, the one who is plowing is going to plow, lizroa, when he intends to plant, if his intention is to planting, do you think the whole time he's going to plow? Yifatach, he's going to open up the surface, visadeid, and he's going to furrow admoso his land, and he's going to constantly plow it again and again and back and forth in all different directions to break up the soil. If his whole purpose is to plant, eventually he's got to put the seeds into the ground. Haloim shiva foneho. After the plowing, he smooths the surface, and then he has to move on to the next stage. Vehefitz ketzach. He'll at that point scatter the ketzach, black caraway seeds. Those seeds will take a bunch of them and he'll scatter it. V'heifitz ketzach, v'chamon yizrok, and the cumin, another type of spice, the chamon yizrok, he'll throw that out on the ground to plant it. And each one, exactly, I'm not sure the exact term, what is called heifitz, to scatter it, and what's the yizrok, to throw it, but probably depending on the density of the seed and which area of land he wants to cover with it, he scatters the seeds in different proportions in different ways depending on what he's planting. V'sam chita sora, and he places the seeds, sora, either it comes like the word mesura, but with a certain measure, or v'sora can mean in the center row of the field, the main part of the field, he puts the wheat, v'sam chita sora. The wheat goes in the center. Usaora nismon. And the barley is there to like make a mark, a sign where the field is. Around the wheat, he would plant barley. And then further out, because less people eat it, v'chusemes gevuloso, and he puts the spelt by the border of the field. So he's a farmer, he knows that every different type of grain, whatever he's planting, everything has to be in its set place. That's the mashal. The nimshal is that just like somebody who's plowing the field to prepare it for planting, there's a certain point where he has to plant. Or as he plows and he plows and he smooths off the surface, and then he has to plant. And every different species goes in its certain place, and it's planted with a certain amount of seed. So too, when the Navi gives tochacha, the purpose is not the rebuke. The Navi's not here to just give a speech and to pass on the word of Hashem without seeing a response from the people. So it's understood, just like somebody who's plowing and preparing the field, he's got to progress and move on to the next stage and plant. So too, when the Navi gives his Musar, it has to have an effect. It's not just a point of speaking, but he has to see a result that the people should accept his Musar and they should correct their deeds based on what the fault is. Of course, that different faults in different people are more liable and less liable. Sometimes it requires a major correction, a smaller correction. But like somebody plowing the field and he's planting, it depends what he's planting, and then he will see the results. So too, the words of the Navi are intended to have a result. The Yisro Lamishpat. And the Navi continues with this mashal. So he planted the seeds, and the grain grew. And now he wants to separate the psoilus, the chaff, and the stubble, the straw. So he takes everything that has grown, and he beats it to remove whatever husks, to thresh it. Now, every min has its own special preparation. Certain ones have a harder husk, some require a stronger method of threshing. The Yisro Lamishpat, the farmer who is preparing his field, the Yisro Lamishpat, he beats it, Lamishpat, with justice, whatever the crop deserves. Elokov Yorenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the knowledge to know exactly what every species needs. Kilo Vechorutz Yudash Ketzach. We're going to see the perek and then we'll come back and discuss it some more. Kilo Vechorutz Yudash Ketzach. If a guy is threshing the Ketzach, this black caraway seed, he doesn't use a chorutz. A chorutz is a threshing board. You have a board and it has grooves in it, and it has some metal prongs, or it has metal embedded in it to give a rough surface, and then he puts a weight on this board, and the animal drags the board, and it has an abrasive surface, and it's pressing down on the grain, and that crushes it. But that might be good for wheat. But kilo vechorutz yudash ketzach, if a guy is threshing black caraway seed, he's not going to use a chorutz. Because by here it's very easy to separate the seed from the husk and from the stalk. So you don't need a threshing board. Va'ofan agola, and the wagon of a wheel, the wheel of a wagon, Al Kamon Yusov, it's a continuation from the word loy. Lo Becharutz Yudash Ketzach. And not with an ofan agola, not with the wheel of a wagon. Al Kamon Yusov, is he going to have it turning and going over the cumin, over that seed? Because again, the wheel, if he rides over it with a carriage, it's just too strong of a force. And it's a lot easier to separate the seed from the stalk. Kivamate Yechoved Ketzach. If a guy wants to beat the black caraway seed, he uses a mate, he uses a stick. V'chamon v'shavet. And if he wants to crush the kamon, the cumin, he wants to separate it from the stalk, he uses a shavet, a staff, which is even softer than a hard wood. He uses a shavet, a staff. So that when the farmer wants to remove the seed, depending on what is growing, he has a special implement. Lechem yudok. If he wants to grind up grain to make bread, for that it requires a strong, he's got to pound it. He's got to crush it. Lechem yuduk. For bread, you would crush the grain. So you'd use a threshing board, you'd use the wheel of a wagon. Kilolo netzach, odush yidushenu. But even though it gets a very strong threshing, the wheat, but you don't do it forever. Kilolo netzach, odush yidushenu. He doesn't do it continuously. He does it enough to remove the kernel from the stalk. And then he'll process the kernels, but he doesn't want to break up the kernels at this stage. V'homam gilgal egloso, because if he does this for a long time, v'homam gilgal egloso, that gilgal, that wheel of his wagon will be homam, it'll totally crush and break it up. Ufaroshav lo yidukenu, and faroshav, the Mitzudas translates as from the word to be poresh, to separate. When you had a threshing board, there was these spikes in it and the grooves in it, but there was a space in between. There were spaces. Ufaroshav, using a threshing board with all of its components, ufaroshav, that are separated from one another, lo yudukenu. He's not going to do that constantly because he doesn't want to break up the kernel at this point. He wants the kernel separate from the stalk. I would imagine if he crushes the kernel, then he's really going to have a problem. Because if the kernel is separate from the stalk, the next stage is to be zoreh, to winnow. And you take it when there's a breeze, and you throw it up into the air. The breeze throws away the chaff, and the stalk is very light, gets blown away, and the heavier kernel falls to the ground. If he crushes the kernel, and he breaks up the kernel, then this process won't work. But the kernel that's heavier will fall to the ground, and then he can take the kernel, and it'll be borer, he'll separate it from the end of the pebbles from it, and then he'll further process it to make his bread. But ufaroshav lo yidukenu, he's going to be careful that ufaroshav, that the threshing board lo yidukenu, shouldn't totally crush the kernel. And the nimshal is that just like the person who's threshing the ketzach and the kamon doesn't use something that's going to ruin it. If he just needs to remove the seed from the stalk of this black caraway or this cumin, he uses something gentler, just enough to remove the kernel from the stalk. So if people would take mussar and take the lesson, it wouldn't require any more of a punishment. It would be a gentle procedure. But if you can't separate the kernel from the stalk, if it's just too difficult, so then it requires a threshing board, it requires a heavy wagon wheel. But even in such a case, we're not out to destroy the kernel. It's just for a short amount of time to finally be successful in extracting the food. Gamzos. This mashal that the Novi just said, but you should know also this, Me'im Hashem Tzvokos Yotza'o. It's coming from Hashem. This is not the Novi giving the message on his own. This is from Hashem. Hifli Eitza, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given a wondrous counsel. Higdil Tushia, and an abundant wisdom. That's the simple meaning of these psukim, that the Navi is telling them that if they would take the mussar, it would require a very gentle process to just redirect the person on the right path. But the more difficult it is to correct, the greater punishment is necessary. Let's look at the Pesukim again. Pasuk, again, Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Gimel. The Navi says, Hazinu, give ear, v'shimu kolin, hear my voice. In general, the word shma is to listen very closely. It can mean to listen, it can mean to understand. Shma Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael should understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So shma means to listen in a way that you understand. Also, in general, kol is the sound. There's a noise that reverberates. You don't even know what, you just hear a noise. Sometimes you're not tuned and you don't hear it. Sometimes you could hear there's a sound. An amira, a statement, means that the sound has different, there are different sounds in every word. It's comprised of different inflections of speech. The imrasi, my words, are, there's a message there. It's not just a sound, but there's a deeper meaning. Hazinu vishimu koli. The Navi starts off to say, Hazinu, to listen, vishimu koli, and hear my voice. First, hear the voice. The voice is going to be here like the mushal. There's going to be a parable. You have to understand it. Hazinu, you should hear it. Vishimu, and then think into it and really grasp this parable. This sound is the mushal, the story with the farmer with his seed. Hakshivu, but then you should be attentive. Vishimu imrasi, and hear my words, hear the deeper underlying message. Hachol hayom, do you think that the whole day, Yachrosh hachoresh lizroa, the one who's plowing and his intention is to plant, is the whole day he's going to plow? Yifatach, is he going to open up Visadeid Admoso and furrow his land? The Navi is trying to tell Klal Yisrael what the purpose of Yisurim is. And although on the simple meaning, it's if a person has Averis and he doesn't correct himself, so there's Yisurim. They'll force him to change. But it's a lot deeper than that. The farmer who plows and who beats the seed, the farmer's not out to punish the crop, to destroy the land. The whole process is a positive one and is a beneficial one. There's nothing here that's negative and that's harmful. It's all a way of bringing out that the land should produce its best and the seed should be food. So the punishments that come on Klal Yisrael as a whole or on any individual are all part of improving him, of helping to develop him. And without that, a person wouldn't reach his shleimus. He wouldn't reach perfection. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a whole process by which a person will reach his true fortune in life. And the mushal is this farmer who, in order to produce the seed, has to plow and has to process the kernels. But just like a person who has pain, the Malbim brings this example from the Chovos HaLevavos, like a baby who has pain. And just to quote the words of the Malbim, Shekol min ha'odam behechrech, the whole human species is forced, sheyavru alov choloim rabim, he has to have many sicknesses, umachovim, in pain, Bimei hagidol v'hatzmicha, and the days that he's growing and that he's sprouting. If you think about it, it's not, this is obviously, we're talking about pain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed into the natural development of a person. But I used to always marvel at the fact that, even think of the shots that a child has to receive, the vaccinations, everything. It seems like the baby gets poked and pricked and injected, you know, much more than the average healthy adult. As a baby, there's just so much more pain that's involved. And he says over here, "Kmo es tzmichas hashinayim v'chadome," like when the teeth start to grow. So the natural thing is a person who has his gums are cutting a tooth. It's a painful process, and that's the natural, normal thing. It's not a punishment. It's not. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that there's a pain in cutting the teeth. V'haya zeh b'hashkocha l'man yakir ha'odam ki yesh olam acher. The reason of this hashkocha is a person should know this world is not the end of everything. There's another world. V'chi nivra l'tachlis acheron nela min hashlemus harishon. And whatever perfection a person might have down here, this is not the end result. There's another world, Shushlemus Olam Hazeh. Here you have Shlemus Olam Hazeh, but there's another world, an Olam Haba, where it's going to be the real world. There's a delicate balance. Rabbi Victor Miller has pointed it out. You know, a person could go through his whole life without eating an apple. And it could be healthy, and I'll get his vitamins and nutrients from everything else. The whole life he can go without an apple. And yet he takes an apple, and he sees all the miracles involved in it. You know, he takes a bite, and it's juicy inside, but obviously he takes a bite, and the juice doesn't spill out. It's embedded within the flesh of the fruit, and it's just a paper-thin peel that protects it, that keeps it waterproof, and that lets you know when the apple is ripe, and it has the seeds in the core that are protected from the acidic juices so that the seeds are protected. And a person marvels and he thinks of this apple and it's so delicious and it's healthy and he sees the wonders involved in it. And yet he could have gone his whole life without ever having an apple. And he could have been healthy and had a good life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the apple in order that he should have a certain experience of enjoyment, and he should have another way of coming to recognize the existence of the Creator. And therefore, for his enjoyment and for his benefit, Hashem gave him an apple. Yet on the other hand, as much enjoyment, and there are many, many, the whole world is full of the chesed of Hashem, things you could have managed without, and it's just there that it's there for your enjoyment. And yet on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that nobody should lose sight and should think that this world is the end. And therefore, life happens to be full of pain and difficulty. And if a person were to think of how much good moments he actually had in his life, you know, he works the whole week for that vacation, and then during the vacation, things come up. He's hoping, he's waiting for the simcha, and then life has its difficulties. And it's there to remind a person that this world is not the end. So there's a balance between showing a person the enjoyment and the happiness, and making sure he realizes this is not the end. So Yisurim are there, the punishment is there as a positive way of growing. And therefore Klal Yisrael as a nation had to go through Golus, like you take silver and you put it in the smelting oven to burn away the psoilus, the impurities. In order to get a pure silver, it's got to be smelted. And so too, Klal Yisrael as a nation, you have to burn away whatever impurities there are. And that was the purpose of the Golus Mitzrayim and the Olah Golus that we go through. But that's just like the farmer who's planting his seed in order that things should grow. Now, when a farmer plows his field, there are a number of different reasons why he does it. He plows it in order to destroy the thorns and the weeds and whatever brambles, whatever doesn't belong on the field. Otherwise, he's going to plant the seed and the grass will be higher than the other plant. The weeds will take over. So he has to plow it to remove the seeds. He also has to plow it that sometimes the seed should get embedded into the soil and should be able to take root. But if he throws the seed on a hard surface, very often the seed just can't break through. And there's another reason why he plows, that after the seed starts to grow, if the land around it is full of hard clods, the roots can't break through and it can't grow properly. He has to break up the ground that the roots can spread. Hachol hayom, pasuk chof dalet. Do you think the whole day, Yachrosh HaChoresh, the one who's plowing it to remove the seed, to remove the weeds and the thorns, the whole day is he going to be Choresh, Lizroa, when his intention is to plant? Yifatach, is he going to spend his whole time opening up the ground that the seed could penetrate and could go into the soft soil? The whole day is going to be Yifatach, open up the dirt. Or visadeh. Visadeh comes from the word like sodeh, the Malbim says. to make it a field. A field is a cultivated piece of land that's been plowed and broken up and made possible to plant there. That's the sode. Visade that muscle, the whole day he's going to spend his time working on the field. There has to be at some point where the seed gets planted and it grows. So too, when a person gets musa, when a person suffers, it has many different reasons. The musa, the suffering, can be there that it's got to remove the thorns and the brambles, meaning his tivus, and a person has these fantasies and these ideas of what he could do, what he should do, what he would do. And he needs sometimes this dose of reality, sometimes to put a damper on his tivus. He's got to get rid of a certain wildness, a feeling of youth, that he can do whatever and there's nothing, he doesn't have a responsibility. He's got to get rid of all of the bad and all of the wrong thoughts and desires. He's got to get rid of those thorns. Sometimes Yisurim do that. That is one of the purposes of Yisurim. Another purpose of Yisurim is Yefatach, to open up the soil. That in order of, it helps a person develop Midos Tovos, and it creates a different mindset that he's not here to enjoy himself, and he's here to accomplish something, and life is not meant to be easy. And a person who realizes his responsibility will now be able to grow in the seeds of Chochmah and Musar. The seeds will now be able to grow. But it has to be a fatah. You have to open him up that he's receptive to Chochmah. And another purpose is to crush the clods of dirt that are hampering the growth of the seed. And that is, in order for a person to grow, he needs that musar, that constant awareness that of his true goal in life, and that this is not the place. Or this is not the end world. So sometimes a person might plow just because, you know, the plants are growing and everything's fine, but once in a while you have to plow it. So if his intention is to plow it, he might do it the whole time. But if he's at the point where he needs to plant, he'll have to progress. So hachol hayom yachosh achorish lizroa, is the whole day he's going to plow the plant, yifatach, to open the soil, visadei admoso, and to break up the dirt, the clods of dirt, and make his land a sode, a cultivated field. Haloim shiva foneho, there's a certain point where he smooths the surface, v'heifetz ketzach, and he scatters the black caraway seeds. He's now up to the planting. And the way you plant depends on what you're planting. Not everything is planted the same way. V'heifetz ketzach, when he's dealing with black caraway seeds, he scatters it. V'chamon yizrok, and the cumin, those seeds, he throws down on the ground. And not only does he plant them with different density of seed to the soil, certain plants need more room, need less room. The way he scatters the seed is done in different ways. But he even plants it in different places. V'som chita sora, he places the barley, the chita, the wheat, he places the chit soira in the main line, the main furrow, the center of the field. Usaora nisman. And the barley is, and the nisman, in the place where it's a simen, where it designates the field, he puts the barley nisman around the wheat. V'chusemes kvuloso, and the spelt is a plant that he puts on the border. So when it comes to the Zaria, when it comes to planting, the Yisurim might affect the whole nation the same. You're plowing the field, you plow the whole field the same way. It's plowed again, and it's broken up in all the different ways that the plowing makes the furrows, but it's all done the same way. But when it comes to the planting, to learning the Torah, to hearing the Navi, it depends who's hearing it. The Makabel, we're hearing it from the Navi. So you have to know who the audience is and who the Navi is speaking to. As we had before, Tzav Lotzav, Kav Lakov, sometimes you have to repeat it again and again. You have to visualize it. You have to teach it in small amounts. So too, the Chachamim, sometimes you give them a little bit of a remez, a little hint, and they grasp the whole concept. Others need to have it spelled out with all the details. Some understand the deeper significance, others just take the general idea. Just like every seed is planted in its own place and in its own amount, so too everybody learns and receives based on who he is. V'yisro la'mishpat. But just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the plowing is being done in order to plant. So v'yisro, the yisurim, the difficulties that a person experiences, la'mishpat. V'yisro la'mishpat. Just like the one plows in order to plant. So v'yisro, whatever difficulties a person has, the intention is la'mishpat, for justice. There's a truth to it, there's a purpose to it. And the reason is Elokav Yorenu, because HaKadosh Baruch wants to teach him. And therefore every difficulty is plowing, is making the person receptive, that he should be able to grow and he should be able to receive the chokhmah of the Torah. Now, the truth is, not everyone suffers the Yisurim the same. After things are growing, but kilo vechorutz yudash ketzach. Certain things need to have a stronger threshing. Certain things need to have a weaker, a easier processing. So too, sometimes a person, as he's learning, and he's learning Torah, and he's understanding, and he's using his mind, but he gets certain other beliefs and certain other thoughts that sort of get mixed in. There gets to be a certain a level of sheker that gets mixed in with the truth of Torah. You can have that kernel, you can have that seed, and it's together with psoilus. It's got a husk, it's got a stalk, it's got the parts that you don't want. And you got to remove the bad, the klipa, the parts that are holding him back from the true source of life, from the food, from the Torah. Sometimes it comes, a person has a simple, you know, he's imagining something, and a little bit of a dose of reality will realize that that's not true, and he'll focus again on the truth. Certain times a person has a very difficult time coming to emunah, and to remove whatever false ideologies, it requires a stronger process. Every individual is different. Kilo vechorutz yudash ketzach. Not with a chorutz, not with a threshing board, yudash ketzach. Are you going to thresh this black caraway seed? Because that has it's very easy to remove the kernel from the husk, and therefore you use a gentle process. Va'ofen agola, the wheel of a wagon, al kamon yusuf, you wouldn't have it rolling over the cumin. Because you want to use the easiest form of process that will accomplish your goal. Lechem yudok. If you want to make bread, so from wheat, that has a strong klipa, a strong husk, that needs to really be pounded. Lechem yudok. To make bread, it has to be pounded. And even so, kilolo netzach odush yidushenu, it won't be threshed constantly. V'homam gilgal egloso. lo yidukenu. He doesn't want to overdo it. Even if he would, hamam gilgal eglaso ufaroshov, if somebody has these wrong types of thoughts, it's not enough with just a tochacha. Sometimes he needs the yisurim in order to remove the bad thoughts. Im hamam gilgal eglaso ufaroshov, even if he were to, the Malbim learns, even if he were to say Musar again and again and again, but lo yidukenu, it won't crush it. They need to be put afterwards, the kernel has to be put into a grinder, you have to use millstones. There's a different process in order to finally take that kernel and make a flour out of it. So you can say Musar again and again, but that's sometimes not enough. You need a different type of process. But gamzos, this also, this general mushal, how a person prepares the field, how the nation goes through certain suffering in order to be prepared for Torah, and how the individual kernels, how every person needs his yisurim and his difficulties to grow. Gamzos me'im Hashem tzvokos yotza'o. This also came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other Mephoshim learned gamzos means also this, what the farmer did. A person sees the farmer doing it and think, wow, that's such knowledge. You should know even what the farmer does with his field, it's all from Hashem. He flee Eitza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a wondrous counsel. And the word Eitza very often, some learn, means Eitza. The counsel means that a person has a thought. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspires a person to think certain ideas. Like we even know from the technology, from the Industrial Revolution, and it gets the computer age, it just, knowledge seems to increase exponentially. Hifli Eitza. For hundreds of thousands of years, the knowledge of the world can be at a certain level. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has wondrous Eitza. Also, he inspires people to be able to think and to develop things that we never knew about before. But that's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hifli Eitza, the wondrous counsel. Higdil Tushia, with an abundance of Chachma. The Chachma is both and kamus, in the amount, like marabu ma'asecha Hashem, how numerous, how the multitude, how great are what you've done. And kulam b'chochma sisa. Not only is there a lot of it, marabu ma'asecha Hashem, but that each one has chochma. That ish bar lo yeda, not everyone can understand and to appreciate the deepness. This is the hifli yetza, the deep counsel of Hashem, Higdil Tushia, with an abundance of knowledge, Be'echus, Be'kamus, in quality and in quantity, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the Chochma, and He prepares us in order to be receptive to learn this. Perek Choftes. Hoi Ariel Ariel. Now the Novi Yeshaya again is focusing on Yerushalayim. It's presented in different ways, and the Musar is told over in different forms, and very often we find it revolving around the miracle of Sanherib's army being out around Yerushalayim. Because this really was a miraculous event that could have inspired, as Chazal said, if Chizkio would have said Shira, Mashiach, he would have been Mashiach. That would have been the days of Mashiach already. But this was such a wondrous miracle. And knowing that the king before Chizkio was the wicked Ochaz, who had spread Avodah Zarah in the land, who had locked up the Batei Midrashim, didn't allow Torah study, and understanding what was going on historically at that time. And then the 10 tribes were exiled by the king of Ashur. And they had tried sending bribes to the king of Mitzrayim to help them, to king of Ashur. Nothing helped. Finally, Ashur came and he exiled the whole northern kingdom. and he destroyed the land of Yehuda till he was around Yerushalayim, and it was almost guaranteed that he would just run over the land. And it's a concept we're going to come to again and again, because it was a miracle that the people saw in their lifetime. And Chizkiyo at that time, and it was so clearly because they saw Chizkiyo was devoted to Hashem. It says, Noatz Cherev beveis HaMedrash, Chizkiyo took a sword and he stuck it in by the base medrash. He said, if you don't learn, Yidoker b'cherev, the person should be killed. Everyone has to sit and learn and has to focus on serving Hashem. And he had the mighty army outside. And Chizkiyo said, don't worry about it, we just got to serve Hashem. So this event is constantly talked about by Yeshaya and by the other Nevi'im, but especially Yeshaya. And now he says in Perek Choftes, Hoy Ariel, Ariel! Whoa, Ariel, Ariel! Ariel comes from the word, the words Ari, Kale, like a lion of God, or a mighty lion. But Ariel is a special term here, either referring to the Mizbeach. There was a fire came down from Shemayim, and the fire took the form of a lion. And there was like this fiery, the fire had the shape of a lion sitting on the Mizbeach. So Mizbeach was called Ariel. And therefore the term is generally used for Yerushalayim as a whole. But now the Navi says that he sees Hoy Ariel, Ariel, whoa, Ariel, Ariel, Kiryas Chana David, the city where David camped, he sees that it's going to be right now in jeopardy. Woe is to the Mizbeach, woe is to Yerushalayim, Kiryas Chana David, the city where David camped, meaning Yerushalayim is special for the Beis HaMikdash. And it's special because that is the seat of Malchus Beis David. Sifu Shana al Shana. And you're adding one year to another year. There's a year of Averos and another year of Averos. Chagim Yinkofu. But Chagim, the Yomim Tovim, the holidays, Yinkofu will be terminated. Eventually there will be a destruction. Some of Horsham learn the pshat is that a person wouldn't spend the night in Yerushalayim with a sin. Because the Tamid Shel Shachar was brought, and that was a forgiveness for whatever sins were done at night. And whatever the sins were done during the day, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim brought forgiveness. But Hoy Ariel, Ariel, once we don't have a Mizbeach, Kiryas Chana David, we don't have Yerushalayim. Sfu Shana al Shana. So the Averus just accumulate one year over the next year. Chagim Yinkofu. Because Chagim, the sacrifices, the korbanos that are brought on the Yomim Tovim, Yinkofu, those sacrifices will be cut off. We won't have them. And if we don't have the korbanos, we don't have the kapara. Chagim here is Yomim Tovim. But it's taken referring to the sacrifices. It could be it's like the Malbim explains. Sefer Vayikra is the Toras Kohanim. That's the law of the Kohanim. And yet in Sefer Vayikra, we had in yesterday's laning, all the Yomim Tovim are listed. And the Parsha begins, not Dabar al Aaron Velbonov. It's nothing special for the Kohanim. It's Dabar al Bnei Yisrael. Yomim Tovim involve all of us. So if the Yomim Tovim involve all of us, why is it doing in Sefer Vayikra? And the answer is because a main concept of the Yomim Tovim was every Yom Tov has its own Karbanos. And since Karbanos are so integral to the Yom Tov, it belongs in Sefer Vayikra. Yet, not every Korban was brought in the Midbar. The main Parsha of Musafim is in Pinchas, it's mentioned later on in the Torah, after it says, Leila Techole Ka'aretz, that the land will be divided with a lot, with a Goyrol, then it goes into the Korban Musaf. But not every Korban applied in the Midbar, and therefore it's not stressed in Parshas Emor. But Chagim, a main point of the Yom Tovim is Karbonos, and therefore the Yom Tovim are mentioned in Sefer Vayikra. But if we don't have the Mizbeach, we don't have the Chagim, we don't have those Karbonos. V'hatzikosi la'ariel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring distress. There's going to be a siege against Yerushalayim. There's going to be distress to Ariel. There is going to be agony and grief, which is a very expression. It says in the beginning of Eicha, by Yerev Bevas Yehuda Taniyo Vaniyo, the same expression, this agony and grief. And it will be for me like Ariel. It could be Ariel, meaning the Mizbeach, had a lot of korbanos. The animals that had to be burnt on the Mizbeach were lying around the Mizbeach. They were the dead corpses of the animals. V'hoysali kariel. Yerushalayim is going to be circled. And there's going to be a time of grief and distress. V'hoysali kariel. But it's going to be like Ariel, like the Mizbeach, that has the dead body, the dead animals around it. So too Yerushalayim is going to be encircled by the enemy, and the enemy will be destroyed. It's going to go through that difficulty, and the Navi sees, hoy, Ariel, Ariel, whoa, it's going to be a difficult time. But in the end, it's going to be a tremendous nace. V'chanisi chadur aloyich. I'm going to camp like a ring. A kadur is a ball, is round. I'm going to encircle the city with enemy soldiers. V'chanisi chadur aloyich. I'm going to camp in a circle around Yerushalayim. Bitzarti olayich mutzov. And I'm going to set up towers. There were different ways the enemy would overcome a walled city. One way is they built a tower and then people could climb the tower and shoot down over the wall. But bitzarti olayich mutzov, they're going to put up the siege towers. Bakimosi olayich mitzuros. And there's other types of weapons that they're going to use when they make siege. They'll set up the scaffold, they'll set up mounds of dirt that they can climb on to have a higher elevation. And inside the city, people are going to feel like all is lost. Vishafalt! They're going to all of a sudden become humble. May eretz tidaberi. And they're going to be speaking with a humility like they're on the ground. Umei offern from the dust, tishach imrosech. Your words will be humbled. V'hoya ka'ov mei eretz kolech. And not only will you be speaking from such a position of humility, of feeling low, of feeling like the dirt, not only will you be speaking from such a position, but the words you use, the tone you use, will also be tremendously humbled. V'hoya ka'ov mei eretz kolech. Ov is a baal ov, is somebody who's able to bring up the spirits of the dead. You can bring up a ghost. But your voice will be like that, like there's no voice there. It's not even like a human speech. It's like ka'ov, like this a speech of a ghost, which is almost not heard. V'hoya ka'ov mei eretz kolech. Like the ghost from the land will be such a quiet word. Umei ofar imrosech tetzavtzeif. And from the dirt, your words, your imrosech, your words will chirp like a bird. It won't be like the speech of a human, of somebody with life to him. But the people will feel that this is it. They've reached their end. V'hoya ka'ovok, dak. And when Klal Yisrael feels this way, they see that they're going through this, there's nothing that can save them, bidei Adam. They're totally surrounded by the world's greatest empire, who's conquered every other country and city. And they're the only ones left in Yerushalayim. At that point, when they cry out to Hashem with a quiet whisper from the ground, with such a feeling of utter dependence. V'hoya k'avok dak. At that point, the enemy will become like an avok dak, a fine dust. Hamon zaroyach. All the multitude of foreigners, the strange people that came from elsewhere, from Ashur, and Ashur brought with him the other lands that he conquered. He had soldiers from all the different countries in his tremendous army. They'll be like fine dust, that there's nothing to it. Hamon, that multitude of Zoroyach, strangers. Uchmotz over. And motz is the chaff over that just passes. That has a little bit more to it than fine dust. It's chaff. It's something that was with the grain. But the strong ones that seem to have more than dust, but they'll be like kamotz over, like the chaff that gets blown away by the wind. Hamona reads him, that multitude of powerful ones who came against Yerushalayim. V'hoya lefesa pisom. And this miracle, that they're going to be like the dust and like the chaff, and they're going to get blown away and disappear, it's going to happen suddenly. V'hoya lefesa pisom. Me'im Hashem tzvokos tipokeid. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu you'll be remembered. And the word tipoke means to remember when you act on it. That's a pekida. V'Hashem pokeid asor, to remember, and immediately there's an action taken. Me'im Hashem tzvokos tipoke. You're going to be remembered, and Hashem is going to act on it. Beram, with a thunder from Shemayim. Uvarash, and with an earthquake. The kol gadol, in a tremendous noise. Either it means literally when the enemy soldiers were, when their neshamas, their life was burnt, when they were burnt, but there was a tremendous uproar in the world above them and below them, or it's figurative. But there was the thunder from above, the earthquake from below, the tremendous kol gadol, sufo, sa'ara, a storm and a tempest. V'lahav eish ochela, and the flame of an eish ochela, consuming fire. And the fire goes into the enemy, and they burnt up. But suddenly, the night of Pesach, 1, 2, 3, v'hoya lefesa pisom. V'hoya kachalom chezion laila. And it'll be like a dream. Like a chazon laila, a vision of the night, which is, person thinks he sees something and it's not even reality. There's nothing there. But it'll be like a dream, chazon laila, vision of the night. Hamon kol hagoyim, that multitude of nations, hatzovim al Ariel, that is camped against Ariel, against the Mizbeach, against Yerushalayim. V'chol tzoveha, all those that are besieging the city. Umitzodasa, and are beleaguering, they're causing all the distress, v'hametzikim lo, and those that are causing Yerushalayim distress, all of the enemy, will be like a dream. That when they were here, it was such a, it seemed such a reality, and such a difficult situation, and all of a sudden it's gone. It's like you wake up and it's gone. That's the way the people in Yerushalayim will feel. And as far as the enemy, they also had their dream. But v'hoya, for them it will be kasher yachlum horoiv, like a hungry person dreams. V'hinei ochel, and in his dream, v'hinei ochel, and behold, he's eating. He's dreaming, he's having a good meal. V'hekitz, and then he wakes up, v'reiko nafsho, and he realizes his stomach is empty. Yeah, it was a good dream, but in reality, he's hungry. V'chasher yachlom hatzameh, or a person who's thirsty, and he's dreaming, v'hine shosa, he's drinking. V'hekitz, and he wakes up, v'hine oyef, and he's just as weary, and v'napsha shokeka, and he has this craving to have something to drink. So too the enemies camped outside Yerushalayim, and they're dreaming that they're going to eat up the city, they're going to consume everything we have, they're going to totally exploit it and take it all for themselves. but it's just a dream. Kein yeh hamon kol agoyim. So too will be the multitude of all those nations, hatsovim ahar tzion, that are gathered against Har Tzion. They're going to wake up. They're not going to. They're going to be destroyed. It's going to be like a dream. Whatever they were thinking that night, that tomorrow Yerushalayim is ours. Nothing will come of it. It'll be like the person who's hungry and he dreams of a meal and there is none. But the first dream it's mentioned is the Zechus of Yerushalayim, Pasuk Zion, like the dream of all of those nations, Hatsovim al Ariel, who are camped against Ariel, against the Mizbeach, but Yerushalayim referring to it as the Mokum Hashchina, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And the other Zechus, that Yerushalayim is the place of Malchus Beis David. And all those that dream of swallowing it up, Ken Yeh Hamon Kol HaGoyim, Hatsovim al Har Tzion, those nations that are camped against Har Tzion, which is the Kiryas Chana David, that's the city where David camped, that's the place of Malchus Beis David. So to all those goyim that dream of taking it, will realize it's just a dream and it'll never be theirs. Look at me.